Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
It's the 414 Hour at 4 on KBN.
He is Kyle Wallace. I'm Ben Bruss. We're live from Ozaukee County Country Club, courtesy of Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and their VIP membership services. I think I was just next to the gentleman with the closest to the pin to win $1,000 of free play on hole 9. And if you hit a hole in one on hole 9, you would have $10,000 of free play. Would it have been fair if I hit the hole in one, which I did not come close? I played well, but I completely choked. Didn't even put it close. If I would have gotten a hole in one, is it fair to skip the show?
Would you have put it all on black for us?
No, it's free play for the machine. I don't think they just give you $10,000 chips.
Nah.
And no, I would not have done that. I probably would have $5,000 on black and then kept the $5,000 to go play elsewhere.
Nah, it wouldn't have been fair because you could have left right after work to go down to Pottawatomie.
No, because my wife's out of town, so I'm solo bolo first.
Are babies allowed in?
Are babies allowed in Pottawatomie Casino Hotel?
That's a Luis! Valid question.
I think it's why do you
babies
think they
allowed at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel? Do they need IDs? That's a no. That's a no.
I'm gonna say, little Izzy can come on, teach her early. grab it, take it down, just like good job, girl.
No, I probably shouldn't be teaching her this early. Ben Russ, Kyle Wallace, and no Brad Nortman, Strophe running the show. We're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison with our guy Strophe running the show. Kyle, you seem a little too happy right now.
What can I be? I mean, at the end of the day, I can look at it from a positive lens.
But you're not Mr. Positive.
I'm upset.
Who is 2025 Kyle Wallace of the Green Bay Packers?
This is
back-to-back games where situationally they have been horrendous.
Yeah.
Special teams has two blocked kicks in a row. Horrible kickoff return coverage.
Yeah, but bad. Brandon McManus
defense gave up 40 points.
Yeah,
you tied.
Yeah.
So I think it's the tie. If there wasn't a tie, you probably would be sweating, throwing tables, and being really upset.
Had the Packers lost yesterday, I wouldn't have been able to go to sleep. I'm telling you, the Green Bay Packers snuck out of there. The reason why I am not happy with a tie, but I'll take it because I want a dub, but a loss, I couldn't do back-to-back losses going into the bye week. My soul couldn't take going 2 weeks without having another Packer game with back-to-back losses. But at the end of the day, the Green Bay Packers defense could not stop the Cowboys. We went down. And we took the lead. We scored.
Three different times.
But the Cowboys, they were down four. They couldn't just kick a field goal. And they were able to drive the ball downfield with ease and able to score a touchdown. At that point with the back and forth, you are just trying to get out of there in survival mode. And that's exactly what the Green Bay Packers did. Now, I'm upset that my coach took the pedal off the metal and went in for the field goal versus trying to go in for the
victory
and the win.
Why are you upset by that? You should, it's an expectation right now with him.
No, that's not good enough. He basically was okay with the tie. He wasn't trying to go for the win. Now, we can tell he wasn't going for the win based off the play calling and based off the pace and tempo and the urgency that
the
offense lacked
at all. What he said in the press conference?
Based off the press conference.
If I knew it was going to end like that, we would have gone faster. But yet there's another.
Yeah.
But then we have Jason Wilde joining and say, well, Jordan Love's a part of this, you know. And again, he's not saying it's all on one, it's all on the other. But Matt LaFleur just doesn't. You don't look at him and think, yes, I am confident in his decision making. He's going to lead this team. He's in Jordan's ear. They're collaborating during the timeout, making sure situationally they know what they're going to do. Everything's east-west most of the game.
He's
like
indecisive.
Use the middle of the field, run, there was nothing inspiring about the way in overtime for the first time. This is the second game with the new overtime. They decide to kick. All right, field goal given up. What are you thinking to yourself when the field goal is given up?
You know what he's thinking to himself?
No, what are you thinking, Kyle?
Oh, I'm thinking.
What is Strophe thinking?
I'm
what
thinking
are the fans thinking?
Perfect.
As Joe said earlier on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, what were the Packers in the red zone?
5 for 5.
Touchdown,
baby.
And they played pity paddle.
Yeah, no, when the Green Bay Packers were able to hold him to a
pity
field goal,
paddle?
I was
pity pad, pity pad, 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 pad. What should I say, Strophe?
Patty cake?
Maybe patty cake?
Patty cake, yeah. They played patty cake with it. But at the end of the day, when the Packers were able to hold them to a field goal, I was excited. I said, fellas, you did your job. You did your job because now this offense can drive it downfield, and A, either you have a tie, or B, you go for the win. Unfortunately, the Green Bay Packers did not go for the win. Once they got within field goal range, Matt LaFleur felt comfortable not to have these guys move with a sense of urgency. You look at the play clock. The Green Bay Packers did not call Hike until there was like less than 12 seconds left on the play clock at the end of that in the last drive that they had after they kind of got within field goal range. They were moving at a slow pace because they understood that they had a tie in the back pocket, but they weren't going for the victory. So that's where my disappointment comes in. But the reason why I'm not losing my mind today is because, again, I kind of feel like we snuck a tie out
that's
of
that's not a good enough it, for no, a team that has Super Bowl aspirations.
Listen. I was upset. I was disappointed, but my heart could not take. Like, when he kicked the field goal, and I was like, okay, here we go. We got out of here. We snuck up out of here.
That's bad that you're thinking, okay, we got a field goal off the tie.
Do you realize that we got blocked field goals in back-to-back weeks?
Stop saying blocked field goals. There was an extra point, damn it.
Field goal, extra point, all the same thing, getting blocked. And so, for me, when they try to boot the ball in and it's getting blocked, the fact that we were able to successfully hit a 53-yard field goal to force overtime and then kick another field goal to tie the game up, I'm just happy it didn't get blocked again. So, again, I am disappointed in the Green Bay.
You have really, really low expectations.
I am holding
because Rich Bisaccia is his man trauma.
If he didn't fire Joe Barry during the regular season, what in the world makes me believe that he's going to fire Rich Bisaccia? All I'm going to sit here and do is watch week in and week out.
He needs to send a message. Ed Policy's the new president. He's taking notes on his performance. He needs to send a message. What is acceptable for his team from a performance standpoint? Let's go to John in Milwaukee. I'm Matt LaFleur on the Carbless Talk and Text Line.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Hey, it goes down to what, remember what Homer said last year when you tried to get LaFleur to sign that Rodgers jersey? LaFleur is soft. That's it. That's all there is to it. As much as that sucks to admit, it's the truth.
I believe, Strofe, that's one of our outro liners here on Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Was there a lot of, because I know I was anti Mike McCarthy in the end. Are we getting to that point where we're becoming anti Matt LaFleur? Has he grown enough?
I feel like, again, this is a huge year for him. This is the perfect timeline for Ed Policy, the new Packers president with 2 years left on Matt's contract. He has a chance because I think after the offseason, and specifically adding Micah Parsons, you've added pieces to the roster to make you feel like there's enough talent on this team to do something special. Is that fair?
Yeah.
And it is now up to the head coach to take the ingredients and mix together the perfect meal, right? The perfect last meal. And that is getting a long playoff push, getting past where they've been, which is the last time they were winning games in the playoffs was right back at in Cowboy Stadium, AT&T or whatever, Jerry's World.
We're undefeated in Jerry's World still.
Yes, technically true. Technically true. But they need to win a playoff game this year. They need to win a playoff game this year. And their best chance to win a playoff game this year is to take the talent that he has and put themselves in a position where they're not a 7 seed again, having to go on the road and fight that uphill battle throughout the playoffs. And they have the talent to do so, and it's up to him to get everyone going in the right direction. But the question I keep asking is he holding this team back, and do you have confidence that he can do it?
You know, there's a feeling that
800-990-3776.
I'm starting to feel with Matt LaFleur is that we keep asking somebody to be something that he is not. And at a certain point, you have to just believe what he is showing you is who he is. And when I say that, it makes me believe that Matt LaFleur may have peaked. Like, we may see the best. No, I'm serious. He may, like, this may be the best that he can be. And the best he can be is a very good NFL coach that is probably, if the Packers separate from him at some point, he'll get another opportunity somewhere. But it seems to me that we keep having these same conversations over and over again. And just maybe we're asking him to do something or be something that he just does not have the ability to do. He peaked as a very good head coach, but he's not an elite head coach. And maybe at some point you have to move on to find an elite head coach because he may never win a Super Bowl.
Well, Chef Ed chimes in here. He's had 7 years and done nothing. I think that's a little too strong. That's the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. But what happened? because the theme of today is situations, right? Mm-hmm. Last week's situation, 10-0, 3:30 to go, below that. Yesterday, in the overtime, kick, know what you have to do, play a little soft. What about making a one-score game? For me, I remember thinking to myself, okay, that was a very big missed opportunity, but he's in his second year of coaching, NFC Championship game, mm-hmm. kind of gave him a pass, right?
Yeah.
Like, all right, he's got to learn from this. But we're now way past that moment. And you can separate the Aaron Rodgers years with the Jordan Love years. What he accomplished with Jordan Love and that team in 2023, it's like he deserves credit for what they were able to do because they were 3-6. They didn't quit. Jordan Love was unbelievable. Last year, didn't beat any good teams, made it to the playoffs, lost to the ultimate champions in the Philadelphia Eagles. This year, the story's still unwritten. That's why I'm not writing him off. But again, like I've said, there's enough evidence, and this will be a huge year with the talent that he has because everyone was asking for a pass rush and this and that and a run. They have a Josh Jacobs. The offensive line's banged up. The bye week comes at a great time. But this rest of the season, he needs to show that he's not going to continue to make the same mistakes as a head coach, and he can get the team to believe in his overall direction and do something with this group because they're talented enough to do something, and it's on him to bring that out of them.
Yeah, it is on him to bring it out of them, but unfortunately he has not been able to do it at a consistent high level. You know, it sucks to, you know, talk about a coach who it's a really good coach, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is you want to win titles. You want to win championships. You've seen guys like Bud from the Milwaukee Bucks get fired, and you saw the guy from the Nuggets who got fired because they're not coaching up to the standard. So if championship head football coaches and basketball coaches get fired, a guy that's never been to a Super Bowl can most certainly get fired. It all is about what is the standard that you set and what is good enough. If 10 wins, 11 wins, and winning one playoff game, you deem that not to be good enough and you feel like somebody else can elevate this roster, then you make that move. We talked about Andy Reid before. Listen, Andy Reid was a great football coach with the Eagles, but he couldn't elevate them to the level of a championship and they fired him. Mike McCarthy, a great football coach, but the team felt stagnant for a while, and what did they do? They relieved him of duties. And so for this, again, I'm not calling for the firing of Matt LaFleur because I don't think it's anywhere.
What about Rich Bisaccia?
Oh, Rich Bisaccia got to go. Rich Bisaccia. You hear the people clapping right now because they think Rich Bisaccia got to go. He ain't fired yet. We ain't got a cheer yet. But that's the thing.
Somebody probably won something nice. Be quiet.
Rich Bisaccia must go. He needs to be not made example of, but it needs to be this is what the standard is. He is not coaching up to the standard, so he has to go.
Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, Alex Stroh running the show. You know, I'm baffled by the whole Rich Bisaccia thing. I just am. Like, even seeing Matt LaFleur and Rich Bisaccia collaborating late in that football game with, like, less than 30 seconds left about situational
honestly,
football, it takes me back to them talking about it when they were going to kick a field goal and not kick a field goal last year. I can't remember the game specifically. But he has not earned anything from Packer fans to be like, yes, when I look at Rich Bisaccia and Matt LaFleur, I trust what they're going to be doing.
And I want to trust them so much. And we all saw what they were talking about. We need to run the guys on the field. It was just poor clock management. It was poor sense of urgency. The guys didn't seem very – they didn't seem like they knew what they were supposed to be
Stroh
doing.
Could have got to the line faster than the players were yesterday.
I mean, let's not go that far.
Stroh?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Stroh would have been winded and gassed.
I tried to throw you a bone and you didn't take it.
I don't need a bone. I got all the confidence boost I needed while seeing Kyle Wallace play baseball on Friday.
Oh, I'm not doing this right now. I ain't doing this right now. Ben Brust, Kyle Wallace, and Alex Stroh, who continue to try and bring up past things to get it at each other.
Listen, Mama didn't marry no liar, so I guess Mama Stroh raised a liar, so it's fine.
Oh, wow. Okay, we're going to break before this fight.
My mom? You keep my mama's name out your mouth.
Oh, no. We're coming after each other's mamas now.
Well, she raised a liar.
Oh, my.
Or is it your papa's fault? Whose
like
fault
I said,
is it?
We need the sock and bop.
You know, I think it's interesting that you bring up my mama when your mama is quoted as saying,
"Leave Stroh alone."
Yeah, she likes Stroh more than you. More next.
This is Kyle Brustin Nortman, KBN.
You said they are a reflection of their head coach.
Yes, yep. He saw it as he proved with you by signing that damn jersey you had. You think Campbell would have signed that jersey?
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. So get it on, get it on, get it on, get it on.
is Kyle Wallace. You all know September is still here, and it is beautiful outside. And guess what? The fall is here, and there's no better time to tackle those home improvement projects before it starts getting a little cold, and you want to make sure you don't have those old, outdated, drafty windows that are just plain inefficient. That's why you have to work with my friends at Universal Windows Direct, because their windows are fantastic, but they also have an incredible September offer for you. They have their classic buy two windows, get two free. Yes, buy 10 windows, you get 10 windows free, or it could just simply be buy four windows, you get four free. It's so easy. 0% financing for 3 whole years and a $500 bonus off your entire home improvement project when you schedule now. So call them today at 414-410-2000 or visit UniversalWindowsDirect.com today to book your free estimate. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
He's Kyle Wallace. I'm Ben Bruss. We're at Ozaukee County Country Club following the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and wonderful sportsbook VIP membership services outing. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liz is more. And you can see us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Now, Ryan in Maguanago chimes in. Let's see if they don't have a stinker out of the bye for once. And here's what I'm not going to do anymore.
Oh,
and
sorry here.
I'm not going to do what I did against the Browns and against the Cowboys.
What is that?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I mean, after I watched the Browns, I knew their defense was good, but I thought the Packers holistic – oh, gosh. Uh-oh. I thought the Packers on a whole – on the whole were
– As a whole?
On the whole. I thought the Packers as a whole were just a more complete football team, and they were going to find a way to win.
On a whole? What does that even mean?
It's an Austin Powers reference that I knew Strofe wouldn't get, so I'm just gonna skip over.
We need
that
Brad back to get it.
I need Brad for my movie references.
He'll be back next week.
That being said, the Browns thought it would be like a win. Like I was like, I don't know how the game's gonna play out, but I think they're gonna grind their way to a win no matter what. The Cowboys, after what they had gone against and showed us from a defensive standpoint. Ain't no way in the world I thought Dak, without CeeDee Lamb, could put up 38 points against
this team.
He carved
us up. He was so efficient
yesterday.
And
so now I'm not going to say out of the bye they should take care of the Bengals.
No. No.
You just can't. The Packers have lost all of the I don't want to say faith, because I think there's still faith in the team.
Confidence.
But the
confidence
isn't there.
No, you shouldn't be confident in this Packer team in a sense of this. You should be confident that they're a good football team, because we know that to be true. But a great football team that we thought they were, the way they destroyed the Lions and the way they dismantled the Commanders, you would think they would have took care of business against the Browns and especially against the Cowboys. With that, now you're a little apprehensive of the fact that, oh, I can't walk around with confidence telling people, oh, don't worry about this game. No, every single game is going to be a battle. Just because they destroyed those first two teams does not mean that they're going to destroy the rest of the teams on the schedule. We looked at that schedule after they went 2-0 and said, where's the next loss? Where's the next loss? It was right there. It was right there in front of us against the Cleveland Browns. So for me, when I look at this Green Bay Packers football team, I have lost all confidence in believing that they are an elite football team, but I still think they're basically what they were last year. A very good football team.
But when you bring up last year, I think that's where the majority of my confidence was for these Browns and Cowboys games, is because we're an opposite world now. Mm-hmm. The Packers beat the two opponents based off of last year early in the season that you were thinking were, you know, NFC championship contenders and teams that were really competitive over the last 3 years. And the Lions have showed after the Packers they're 3-1 and they got a little swagger back. The Commanders don't have Jaden Daniels, so like whatever, but they still took care of business in a convincing fashion where I was like, all right, this team's legit. And then I'm thinking to myself, all right, well, if they're really legit, I remember last year they took care of every single opponent essentially that had a worse record, you know, and that I got caught up in that, and maybe the team did, from Rashid Walker saying they could win every game to Alex Strofe also saying he thinks they were going to be everyone, not 17-0, but Strofe, you and I had a conversation, and a lot of people thought that they could be 9-0 before they play the Eagles.
Yeah, and my thing is, talking about the Rashid Walker, who we going to blame now, Matt? going to blame Rasheed Walker for the talk of 17 and all the guys not being focused? Who are we going to blame for this defense now for special teams? And so, again, it all falls on Matt LaFleur. I don't care about any of the conversation or the talk. Matt LaFleur just has not done a good enough job ensuring that this football team was ready to play in all three phases of the football game. And when we look at this past week, the offense was humming. The defense in the first half was spectacular. The special teams, once again, was a problem. And they need to take this week to clean up a lot of different things, but this team has to be more disciplined as well. Between the penalties and the mental breakdowns, the lack of focus that this team has, they have to get better. At a certain point, this team is going to have to grow up. When will that be? Matt LaFleur, you got to lead them. You got to make sure they're growing up. You got to make sure the end of game management, you and Jordan Love are in sync, right? On the same, working cohesively together to figure things out. Jason Wilde joined us earlier today and said, well, you know, Jordan Love, he can't do that. Well, where's Matt LaFleur making sure he won't do that, right? And so, again, I put this all on Matt LaFleur, this loss, and I put it on Rich Bisaccia as well. But, again, that falls on Matt LaFleur because he selected him, and he continues to allow him to be incompetent at his job.
Strofe, you're running the show back at the Gruber Lofts. There's one called That's All Studio. Somehow Kyle was able to go to bed 45 minutes after the game because it was a tie. There's no way that you were able to shut down after 45 minutes. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's accurate. More so than fair.
Poor guy. What were you thinking about?
Well, I was reacting. I was listening to Green Bay Game Night. I was watching SportsCenter. I was watching press conferences as I do.
One of his favorite things is to listen to Matt LaFleur press conferences before bed.
I didn't get through it last night. I had to turn it off. I was getting so angry as my girlfriend and dog slept next to me. And I was getting so angry listening to Matt LaFleur, I had to turn it off.
Yeah, see, that's the reason why when the Badgers lose or the Packers lose, not so much the Badgers as I used to be. But when my teams lose, I just turn the TV off.
Saturday nights.
Had to let that go. Had to let that bad thing go. But for me, when the Green Bay Packers lose and obviously they tie, I have to completely detach. Because if I sit there and I pay attention
to what's
going on. So you like suffering.
I don't like suffering. I don't have a choice.
I need a pause where I can reconnect the next.
All I think about all the time is the Green Bay Packers. I can't just stop thinking about them when they tie 40-40 on Sunday Night Football and go to sleep.
That's what I was going to ask both of you, Kyle Wallace and Alex Strofe, and KBN Nation 800-990-3776 and the Carbo's Talking text line or YouTube. What's the one thing right now that's keeping you up at night about the Green Bay Packers?
One thing.
You get one thing that's keeping you up at night that has you worried about what this team can do this year.
The offensive line, the offensive line is the biggest thing that I know. We talked about special teams this entire game. The offensive line in the first half was abysmal, too. It was bad. Jordan Love, again, not so much Jordan Love with the pressure, but more so not opening up holes. Now, they look better in the second half, and I understand we have injuries, but the offensive line was so bad in the first half. That is one of the biggest things and pet peeves that I have right now with this team is the fact that the offensive line, if they can't be consistent, then we won't be able to run the football, and we won't be able to protect Jordan Love. We got to have more consistent offensive line play. That is the thing that I am thinking about. Bumps the defense having a bad game. I understand special teams is bad, but guess what? Special teams only gets 15 plays, and they're big plays. But if you're able to protect Jordan Love, you see him drop 40, three touchdowns, 300. If you're able to open up holes with Josh Jacobs, you're able to see him break out, make a nice little cut, get to the end zone for a touchdown. Like, that is what a great offensive line can do. But right now, the offensive line has been below average.
They scored 40 points, and they were able to help provide some of those moments for you with Josh Jacobs.
In the second half.
Emmanuel Wilson. So I'm surprised he went offensive line. It's definitely something. It's his choice. Strofe, with the one thing that's going to keep you up at night as it pertains to the Green Bay Packers and what they can do this year.
Ben, that was a really nice way of you saying, Kyle, you don't know ball.
I don't know how y'all see Jordan Love run for his life last week. Jordan!
Jordan Love was sacked once yesterday, and they get a bye week for Aaron Banks and Zach Tom to heal up. I'm not too worried about the offensive line, to be real honest with you, and Anthony Belton. It's just the overall identity. I don't know what this team's identity is. I had an answer prior to yesterday's game. I don't think after allowing 38 points to the Dallas Cowboys, I can use that answer anymore. So I said it earlier in the show. I legitimately am so confused on who this team is or what this team is. And I know we're only a quarter of the way through the season now, and there's still a lot of time to figure that out. But for a team 2 weeks ago, I was ready to buy tickets to Santa Clara in February. To go from that to this very quickly. I just don't know what their identity is. I don't know anything. I know nothing. We've seen four games of football, and I know nothing.
This bye week could not for the Packers. It's timely, but for you not knowing who they are, that's a bad time for an Alex Stroh Green Bay Packers.
Yeah,
because now until they play, you are going to be thinking about who are the Green Bay Packers for the next 11, 12 days.
Stroh, before you freak out, I just want you to think about this defense. Defenses have bad games. It happens. They're not going to be perfect. They're going to have games where it's just like, what in the heck just happened? Why couldn't we stop them? Do not allow for that one game that this defense played all of a sudden to make you think that they're fraudulent, all of a sudden to make you think Halfley doesn't know what he's doing. Like, I get it. I feel how people can be concerned. But do not allow for one game to give you concern over these next 2 weeks, because they're going to have a chance to bounce back. If anything, you should be more concerned about that.
George Pickens had eight catches. George Pickens had eight catches for 134 yards and two touchdowns.
How many did Amon-Ra St. Brown have?
The receivers the Packers have coming up after the bye.
How many did Amon-Ra St. Brown have?
Marvin Harrison. DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, no more Malik Neighbors. Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Romo Odunze has been great, but he's not on the level of those guys. You'll eventually have Zay Flowers and Justin Jefferson again. That's remaining on the schedule, including Jamar Chase after the bye.
How did Terry McLaurin do?
Well, first off, that's not his name. Second off,
for McLaurin, how did he do?
Yeah, I agree. But that's also
how did Debo do? No. But what I'm saying, you cannot sit here and say, oh no, look what happened in this one game with George Pickens, and then ignore how they did a couple games before that. I understand Stroh.
The reason why I think it's a little more fair to Stroh to feel that way is because you were able to stop all the guys you mentioned, and George Pickens, who's still learning that offense, looked like he was a 5-year veteran. In Brian Schottenheimer's Cowboys offense against the defense.
He was just cooking guys on the outside.
No,
he was cooking.
They were running a zone, and they were just doing the same thing them. Over and over again.
When you don't get pressure, that's a problem. If you guys don't believe that this team is going to be able to get pressure at all anymore, then I understand. Okay, yeah, if they're going to have to sit back there and cover, then yeah, they're going to be cooked by those guys.
But
I'm under the belief that we're going to still be able to get pressure at some point.
If we had done the exercise prior to the season, which position group scares you most, which we probably did, all of us would have answered cornerback.
Oh, 100%. We did. A corner is still a problem. It's still a problem, but we have seen what the formula is for success. Just 2 weeks ago, y'all.
Then what happened yesterday? Their starting center and starting left guard were both out of that game. Their best receiver out of that game. What happened? Explain it to me.
Dude, what happens in sports is sometimes teams draw up great. No, listen, because I'm upset. But to sit here,
upset. You're not upset.
No, because
you're happy with
one sack for a 0 yard loss. One sack.
Kyle's happy with the tie.
One sack for a 0 yard loss.
Able to go to bed.
So wait a minute.
Nine incomplete passes. That's it. He went 31 of 40.
He had
319 yards and three touchdowns.
They scored three touchdown drives before playing the Green Bay Packers. They had five in a row.
I saw. They could, but remember, early in that game, they couldn't do anything. It just came out of nowhere. They got momentum, and they kept basically they were able to run the football. Devontae Wyatt went down. Them picking up the first downs. They were so good at running the ball to get 3, 4, 5 yards on first downs to allow for a second and short, a second and mid. That was working out very well for them. There was just things that happen in games where teams just don't have it, man. That's just
what
happened.
For 38 points.
That is what happened yesterday. Do not panic. Now, if the Bengals with Jake Browning come in here and we can't stop them, then we can have this conversation about maybe the defense is fraudulent. But do not allow for the first three games to not matter and only put everything on. Don't wait to test on one game with the Cowboys. Don't do that. And the Cowboys offense, I mean, listen, the pack yesterday was inexcusable. But the Cowboys offense has scored a lot of points this season and put up a lot of yards. Dak Prescott was top three in passing yards, top four in passing yards going into yesterday.
Because their defense is so bad. He's got
so bad. And guess what? They had to score a lot of points again yesterday, and they did it. Man. And they did it. So, again,
happy with a tie.
No.
Alex Stroh is going to have a hard time figuring out the identity of this team without seeing them play for 10, 11 days here. But we'll continue on. I'm disappointed in Kyle.
No, come on now.
No, it's you. I don't like you.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
So they are lucky. Those other teams, whether it's Kentucky or whether it's Oregon or was it TCU?
That was TCU.
TCU, they're lucky I didn't play in that game. You got upset by a bad team, TCU.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Snap.
It is Kyle Bruston Nortman with No Nortman. Strophy's running the show. We're live from Ozaukee County Country Club. Big shout out to them and to Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and the membership VIP services team. Luis from Pottawatomie, as well as always, amazing. Had a great time with him. Need some golf lessons, but I'll leave that there. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liz is more, and we're on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Mattis. We started the show with this conversation. Is Matt LaFleur holding the Green Bay Packers back? 62% of the people say yes. 38% of the people say no.
Ooh. Palm. Palm.
So you're no?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that Matt LaFleur is holding this team back quite yet.
Okay.
This is going to be a very telling season because the way – I'm good. Jordan Love played great.
Your eyes are open, though? Well,
yeah, I mean, this team makes a lot of mistakes, but also a lot of the greatness that comes from this football team comes from the mind of Matt LaFleur. Like, a lot of these guys that have developed were Romeo Doubs, three touchdowns yesterday, right? Like, that comes from the development of the coaching of Matt LaFleur.
Has the greatness this year been through what he's known for, is being the offensive guru?
I personally don't believe the offense in week one and week two and then also in week four, I don't believe the offense was bad. I thought 27 points in the first 2 weeks. I thought there was room for improvement, getting the running game going. I thought the offensive line was a problem for a lot of the first games.
What about situational coaching?
Yeah, I mean, again, when you blow teams out week one and week two and then, you know, week three you have what you have.
But when I ask situational coaching, there's more examples than just the last 2 weeks.
There are more examples of the last 2 weeks, but that might just be the guy who he is. I mean, again, I'm not ready to say that Matt LaFleur is holding his team back because I think that's a disservice to Matt LaFleur for how much success he has had in the NFL to say a guy that has consistently been over 500 as a coach, a guy that was able to take a team after moving on from Aaron Rodgers to the playoffs, back-to-back seasons into a 9-win season, 11-win season, like holding them back. I mean, there's a lot of growth that he had with one of the youngest teams in the NFL, so I'm not ready to say that, but I do see some chinks in the armor.
What I'm most curious, because Brian Balaga is going to join us before the Homer Hour, there's just a, like, from Matt LaFleur's perspective post-game, Strofe had to shut it off because he was getting angry at him saying a lot of the same things over and over that he's
So when I do this, typically, I'm laying in bed, right? So I pull it up on the TV on YouTube, where you can pull us up at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison on YouTube, from 2 to 5 every day. So I pull up the press conference live on YouTube on the TV, and I have it like a little quiet, but I can still hear it. My girlfriend and the dog are sleeping to my left. I'm on the right side of the bed, right? And so last night, I verbally, quietly let out a, "What the hell is he talking about?" And that's when I knew I had to turn it off. The hell are we doing?
Because the dog perked up?
The dog perked up, and also I didn't want to wake up my girlfriend because I knew if I continued to listen to Matt LaFleur say, "Yeah, I gotta be better," I'd probably be like, "What are we talking? Stop! Stop!"
That's called torture.
No, it's literally him fouling his team and listening to the head coach that leads the team out every week that he roots for.
But like, he doesn't have to do it.
There's nothing wrong with what he did.
I just don't understand. After having to go through the misery of watching that game, why would you want to?
If it was a noon or a 3 o'clock game, is it just because it's late that you don't think it's okay? Because I think it's very normal for every fan to want to hear from their head coach.
Kyle's biggest worry is the offensive line who only let Jordan Love get sacked once, and Josh Jacobs had his best game of the season by a mile. So I don't know, man. We're watching different football teams.
Sure, yeah. The first half of that football game, that offensive line was magnificent. The week before that, the offensive line was magnificent. The week before that, the offensive line was perfect, right? That's your problem, Stroke.
That's your number one worry.
No, you watch one game, and you just take the bad thing from one game. You know what? You were probably hating on Jordan Love last week. Oh, he's bad. He has problems.
I never said that. Nope, never once said that.
I don't know what he said last week. But all I'm saying is you cannot allow one game to all of a sudden let that all be right. What the football
I'm not. Tell me what their identity is. I said my biggest question is what's their identity?
My overall point I'm trying to make is Matt LaFleur said, if I would have knew this is how it was going to happen, we would have went faster. But at the same time, we have Jason Wilde holding Jordan Love accountable and saying he's been in the league 3 years. I want to get inside the mind of somebody who's been coached by Matt LaFleur and has been in those situations. What is the communication like? 2-minute warning in that situation down three. You know, what are those conversations? Because the way it played out looked like they were zombies getting the line of scrimmage. And it was something that I think sits wrong with everybody in terms of the urgency to try and go win that football game. So let's get answers from an expert instead of Kyle trying to pick a fight with Stroke.
I'm not picking this fight with
Stroke. Brian Bulaga joins us next.
Ain't no fight.
App. I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of, but back in
Kyle Brusset-Ortman before the Homer Hour. Joining us now, very timely as always, is Brian Bulaga. Brian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
That was a different I'm good, how are you from Brian.
Been better, Brian.
Yeah, so here, before I ask any questions, maybe just tell me your overall feelings after watching the 40-40 tie yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, it's like, you know, you watch all that and there's 80 points in a game and obviously disappointed with, you know, I didn't expect defensively that performance, right? I mean, that was the last thing I expected was our defense to give up 40. I mean, I get, you know, end of the half, that wasn't on them. You know, I mean, that's that is what it is, right? So take seven off there for... Take nine, technically, right? The blocked PAT and then the seven at the end of the half. But still don't expect that number on the board, right? Like, that's not the number I expect from our defense. And then, like, just don't understand, like, some of, like, offensively, like, just a couple of the things that happened towards the end of the game. You know, I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, that last drive in overtime, kind of as the clock's ticking down. I'm not sure what's going, because that's stuff that's regularly practiced. Those are things that you should just know as just the 11 guys out on the field, what's happening. Like, I don't know why they're looking over to the sideline like something's going to happen. Like, there's no timeouts. You got about 26, or what was it, 23 seconds left?
Something 20, like that,
yeah,
24.
Like, yeah. You can get a playoff and a good play. Like, you can get a good playoff. Like, the play probably came through the headset. I heard Matt say ozone. That's what he said in the press conference. Like, I know what that is.
End zone, like, or out of bounds.
Yeah, end zone or out of bounds. So, like, the play came through. I don't know why everyone was, like, walking up to the line of scrimmage. I don't know what guys are doing. I don't know what's happening there, that the urgency is to walk up there.
Who coaches that?
Yeah, is that more on Love or LaFleur? Because we're genuinely trying to figure it out, because, like, as a third-year quarterback, you're supposed to know the situation, time, and everything. But Matt LaFleur at the end of in his press conference, if I knew it was going to end like that, we would have gone faster. Like, that quote doesn't sit well with me, because you kick it to them to understand what you have to do in overtime with these new rules.
Yeah, so, I mean, from his point, and as I was watching overtime, I felt like I knew what he was doing, right? So he's bleeding this clock, and he's bleeding the clock because for the first time in this young season – he's realizing his defense is not stopping the opposing team.
Yep.
Like, this is the first time he has seen it. And he is bleeding this thing dry, because the last thing he wants is to give Dallas, like, you know, some time left. And they get, like, you know, 40 seconds left, and they go down and score a touchdown or a field goal, because the kicker can kick, like, 67 yards. Like, right? The field goal kicker can kick a ball a mile. So, like,
bro, his extra points were at the top of the net every single time, right down the middle. His kickoffs were unbelievable. He's a weapon.
That's what I'm saying. So that's in the back of his mind. Like, if I give them time, it takes one completion and they have timeouts, they just need to get like 20 yards from like a normal touchback and the kicker can maybe make a field goal and the game's over. So like, I understand what he's doing, right? Like, I get it. But like, from the guy's urgency standpoint, as that clock is ticking down, that is something that they should, like, those players on the field, like get to the line and give the quarterback time to like make adjustments. Like, that's like the thing that I'm thinking in my brain as I'm seeing these guys kind of like walk around. I'm like, the thing that we would all know as linemen, like, get to the line as fast as possible, for one, to let Aaron see what the defense is doing so he can make route adjustments. And then two, let's see if we can manipulate the snap count and maybe get them off sides so Aaron can just take a shot really quick and see if we can maybe get a free play and then move up 5 yards. And then maybe we have a dead clock and then we can make another shot at it. Mm-hmm, like, it's just like little things like that, that you just, I'm watching and just thinking these things, right? Like, it's just, I don't know what's, I don't know what the guys in the field are thinking, because the coach can't be screaming that at them from the sideline. Like, you know what I mean? Like everyone wants to put it on the floor. Like, I get it, but like, these guys have to do this. Like, they got to do it.
Is this falling on Jordan Love's shoulders more than LaFleur at that end of game clock management?
Well, listen, and LaFleur's going to take blame, and he's going to put it some on him because he's the head coach, and this is the type of guy Matt is, right? Like, and this is what he does, and this is why I appreciate Matt. This is why I appreciate Matt. But, like, I think Jordan's a big boy, right? Like, and I'm not – this is, like, I don't criticize quarterbacks a lot because, like, they got a lot of responsibility already. But, like, he's got to get those linemen – he's got to get their – you know what, to the line of scrimmage and get them, because once they get lined up, everyone else gets lined up.
Do you take the lead from the quarterback? Because a lot of times I feel like Aaron was barking, like, you know, like, get up. Like,
yes.
It just, there was none of that from the overall team and Jordan specifically.
Yeah. And can you answer also, was Aaron barking like that the year you guys went to the Super Bowl? Because that was your first year, and I think that was Aaron's third year as a starter. Was he barking like that year too?
Yes, of course. Okay. Like in those situations, he would be screaming at us to get to the line. Like, so we would be sprinting to the line, because the minute we get set, the receivers know they got to run and get set. Like, that's how those triggers. Like, those are the triggers. And then that gives him like a few extra seconds to see what that defense is doing, give his hand signals to the receivers, and the ball gets snapped. And then that ball gets snapped at, we'll just say 13, right? And then he throws it, and then there's more time left. Maybe you get a chance for another play.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know, right? Like, it just, there's certain things that, like, that whole sequence of, like, from 24 or 28 down, I was just going, like, what is happening here?
You know, like, what? You make a great point, Brian, because usually when you have the reception, right, and whenever it is, like, even we saw it last week with the Cleveland Browns, because they had to, you receive the ball, you hand it off to the ref, and you have a sense of urgency. The Green Bay Packers complete the pass, and the clock is ticking, and guys are just moving slowly versus, let's run to the ball, let's hurry up. Like, that is very interesting that they did not have that sense of urgency, and it sounds like it falls on Jordan Love to command and demand that from the guys around him.
Yeah, he's just got to get the guys get going, and guess what that does? That stresses the defense out too. They make mistakes when they feel stressed out and they have to line up and they have to get set, and their communication gets stressed out. It's loud in there, they can't communicate properly, things break down on the back end when they can't talk. So like, it's all part of the whole situation as an offense. So like, I don't want to heap on Jordan, but I'm certainly not piling on Matt. That's definitely not what I'm doing today. That's 100% not what I'm doing today.
That's fair enough, Brian. We appreciate the insight, and I think that's great stuff for us and the audience and anyone who wants to learn anything about what happened in yesterday's game. And you're going to get a whole lot more of that with Brian and Homer on the Homer Hour coming up next. It's been Kyle Bruston-Ortman live from Ozaki Country Club. Shout out to them and Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. We will talk to you tomorrow. We'll see you then. Enjoy the Homer Hour in 2 minutes. Sports and banter, a perfect blend. KBN's the show that never ends.